Well, this evening we want to, as I said earlier, we're going to be in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. It'll be page 160 in our pew Bible, as we call it. Page 160, Joshua chapter 1. We're also going to look at not only Joshua, but Moses' life a little bit and compare that to us today. A lot of comparisons there. Especially in the excuse department. Uh-oh. Let's read Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9. And it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to, unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only thou be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whither thou goest." A lot of good stuff in our reading tonight. I want you to look at verse 5 to start with, at God's promise. One of the greatest promises I find in the Bible. And by the way, in these 9 verses, 3 times he commanded us to be strong and of good courage. 3 times in 9 verses, he says, be strong and of good courage. Be encouraged, he's saying. And as you know the story, Joshua at this point is taken over from Moses. You remember the story? Moses was forbidden to go into the promised land. God only let him look at it off the mountain. And because he had disobeyed God back in the wilderness. You see, sin carries ramifications. And God is very specific when he tells us to do things sometimes. I mean, it's just exactly what he says to do. And the reason, for those that may not know, the reason for all this was he told Moses to speak to the rock and water would come forth. Well, what did Moses do? Anybody remember? That's right. He took his rod and he hit it. And just that little so-called little sin cost him going into the promised land, because God didn't say hit it. He said speak to it, right? Speak to it. We don't know, the scripture don't say why he hit it, where he was showing out, or, you know, a moment of flesh. Who knows? Who knows? But it cost him going into the promised land, but he did get to see it. So what he did was, God picked Joshua, that was actually Moses' assistant the whole time. Joshua was there the whole time and working with Moses. And he said, Moses or Joshua, in other words, he was picked to take up where Moses left off. In verse 5, we find a promise from God. And this is something we need to take to the bank in our life. We need to really remember this promise. Verse 5, in the latter part of verse 5, it says, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, in the New King James Version, it says that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And he says, so I will be with you, I will not leave you nor forsake you. God will never leave us. Amen? Amen. He never leaves us. If the old saying goes, if God is not with you, guess who moved? You know, it wasn't him, because he promised to never leave us. So he says here, he gave a promise. Now in verse 6 through 9, he gave a command to go with the promise. So he didn't just promise, or he don't promise us, like for instance, he don't promise us eternal life just to be passing the time of day, right? He give us eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son, but he also gives some commands to go with it. And so it is here. His promise in verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In verse 6 through 9, he says, first again, he said, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall you divide inheritance. And he said right here, the command is to be strong and of good courage. Verse 7 says, only thou be strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law that Moses gave you. Here, that's the command, you see. The command also says, don't turn from it to the right nor to the left. And if you don't do that, the promise included in that, in verse 7, is that you will prosper wherever you go. Now, all of us want to do that, right? I mean, when I read this scripture, I tend to just read that last part. Prosper wherever I go, right? Well, there's a command with that you have to obey. And in this case, you're talking about the law, because then that's all they had. There was the Mosaic Law. Right? And they had the Ten Commandments. But now we have grace, right? We live in grace. Jesus Christ brought forth grace and got us out of under the burden of the law, but he still says we walk and live according to the Bible. It's like freedom is not free. We talk about that sometimes. Well, the liberties we have as Christians in grace doesn't give us the right to just flounder it, you know, not just go out and live any old kind of way. That's not what it's about. Because I believe, personally, that if we really love God, we're going to do our very best to live according to what His Word dictates. Amen? All of it. And nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But we need to keep trying. It goes on to say in verse 8, that the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night. Wow. What a command. What a command. Don't get away from the Bible, he said, but meditate on it day and night. Now, I challenge you this. Let me say it this way. You can't meditate on something you hadn't read. Meditate means what? To think about, to consider, right? More or less, it means just consider it. Think about it. Well, the only way you can meditate on the Word is read it. Read it. You can meditate on something somebody told you, but unless you hear it, you can't meditate on it because it's not there, right? You can't meditate on that. So one of the commands it would be to us today is reading the Word. And you've heard me say many times that it's better to hear it than to read it silently, because Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. That's right. So we need to hear it. Now, verse 13, another command. He says in the same chapter here, he says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God had given you rest and had given you this land. Remember the word. Again, we can't remember the Word unless we've studied the Word. So it's very important to study the Word. Let's look back at Moses for a moment. Turn back to Exodus chapter 3. And verse 11, I had mine all printed out here, and then it dawned on me I didn't have enough copies to go around, so I decided to go back to this King James Bible, and that's okay. I still use it myself sometimes in my study. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. We want to look at a few excuses that Moses gave. You know, see all this he's talking about, Moses, my servant, and you know the story. Moses was handpicked by God to lead the children of Israel out of bondage through the wilderness, through all kinds of things, but he promised them this land that we just read about. He said all of that, you know, the promised land, as we call it. But now let's look back a little bit at Moses and see how it sounds like us today. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Are you there? I didn't write those page numbers down. 41? All right. Verse 11 says, and Moses, now let me back up just a little bit, give you a little preface on this. Here is where God is approaching Moses and calling him to go do what we were talking about. This is the part of the Bible where God is coming to Moses and giving him the instructions to go do so and so. Now, mind you, before we get too critical of Moses, remember, he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. This is not strange to him, what he's talking about when he's giving these objections, but I want you to watch how God overcomes all of our objections. Not a one is going to work. I can tell you from experience, I've come up with some pretty good excuses, I thought, but none of them work. Exodus, where are we at? 3:11. He said, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? He's like saying, God, are you crazy or what? I know who that is. I was raised in his household. I know how powerful he is. Man, he'll take you out like that if he don't like you. I mean, he didn't have to go through Civil Liberties Union or nothing. He just, you're dead. And Moses said, who am I? Sometimes our excuse is, who am I? I've heard this so many times, and to be honest, it makes me sick. I'm just a truck driver. No, you're not just a truck driver. You're a truck driver. Big difference. God called you and put you where you are. You got a tremendous ministry to do out there. And a brother was saying earlier, he's having fun leading people to Christ. That's what it's about. That's why God's got you out there. Don't try, who am I? I'm just me. Look at Exodus 4 and verse 1. Here's another excuse. Exodus 4:1. All this time, God is telling me, go, I'm with you. Go, I'm with you. If you read this story over and over and over, God is really, I should say Moses is testing God's patience here. You know, he done said, I'll take care of it, right? So here in Exodus 4:1, Moses comes up with another one. He says, and Moses answered the Lord, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared to you. What if, he said, what if they won't believe me? That's not your problem, Moses. It's not my problem if somebody don't believe me, okay? It's not your problem when you witness to somebody if they don't believe you. It's your job to witness to them. The result is up to God. And yes, you'll get laughed at. You know, you get persecuted. How many's already had some of that, right? When you make a stand, you know, you're going to get persecuted. You're going to get laughed at. You're going to get ridiculed. He says, you know, and I say it almost makes me laugh when I read it, because you're talking to God. Remember that, who he's talking to. And he's like somebody that don't know, you know, or might not know, you know, been there and done that. Drop down to verse 10. Another excuse, he says. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hereto nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. History says that Moses stuttered real bad. He had a speech impairment. He couldn't talk plain. And he's saying here, first he said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and demand? Now, by the way, God told him, go demand. You're not asking. You're walking up to the ruler of the whole land and saying, let him go. Now, you got to admit, God tell you to do something like that. I mean, if he told me, I'd go, wait a minute. As Lee Strabel says, sometimes I'd ask God for a second ID, make sure it's him. You know? You just walk in. Now, they've been in what captivity, what, 400 years at that time? And the people there, the Israelite, that generation that was there, didn't know anything but where they were. See, this generation they're talking to didn't know nothing but captivity. And here comes Moses, who had already got, you know, had to run for his life. You know that. He killed one of the Egyptian guards and ran from his life. Now he's walking back in and saying, all right, turn them loose. We're leaving. No wonder he was a little skeptical, right? No wonder he said, what if they don't believe me? In South Georgia terminology, what he's saying is, you have lost your mind. Right? I mean, whoa. And we're not talking a few people. I understand there was about 3 million of the children of Israel of who he's talking about. We're not talking about getting a 6 or 8 people and getting a van and leaving. We're talking about a mass exodus. We're talking about lots of people. So, again, even though we want to kind of criticize Moses a little bit, what I want to do with this is put us in that picture. Where do we fit in there? How many times has God spoken to me and said, go talk to that person? And you know what I mean. It's that still, small voice, nothing out loud, or at least I've never heard an audible voice. But you know, everything he speaks to my heart is in this book, is in the Bible. Every time he leads me, you know, you've heard people say, the Lord led me, the Lord spoke to me, I felt impressed to, whatever the terminology, it's okay. It's okay. But if God's in it, it'll line up with the book. But how many times has he spoken to you and me, and we come up with these excuses like Moses? I mean, it ain't going to work, God. I remember very distinctly, in 1980, at about a year before we started Truck Stop Ministry, I remember very clearly, I was driving my truck, doing my thing, had my own truck, and happy as a dead pig to sunshine. I mean, it wasn't bothering nobody. You know, handing out Bibles, witnessing, doing what you're doing, happy as I could be. And God said, go to Truck Stops of America in Atlanta, then Truck Stops of America, and walk in there and preach. I was like Moses, said, are you out of your rabbit mind? I mean, you know, I could just picture getting thrown through that plate glass window, you know. There'd be a mass exodus, all right. It'd just be me. And, you know, I mean, I'm an independent trucker. I make my living out of that truck stop with the brokers back in those days. If you remember, there was 20-something brokers' offices up there. So I was in there every day. And God said, okay, now you go in there and preach. So I can kind of identify with Moses. In fact, in my argument, what makes this special to me, I guess, is that in my argument way back then, God spoke very clearly to me and said, you sound like Moses. And that's when I started studying this. I thought, well, I thought he was a hero. I mean, I read the part about him leading them out, you know. I didn't read the part about him arguing about it like we do. Hello. Come up with all kinds. I'm in too big a hurry. A quick trucking story, and I try not to do too much of that because you tell enough of them yourself. But anyway, I remember going down the road, and I see the truck way off up there sitting on the side of the road. cab tilted, and God spoke to my heart and said, stop and help him. And I looked at my watch and I thought, if I stop, I'm going to be right in the middle of Atlanta traffic. If I keep going, I'll probably be ahead of it. Guess what I did? Out in the left lane, right on by. I got the next exit, got off, turned around, went back north to the next exit, turned around and come back, and then stopped. Needless to say, as soon as I cleared that truck, man, it was like heaviness. Right? You done messed up, boy. And I knew the best thing to do was, when I pulled back up behind him, I walked up there and he was letting the cab down. I said, can I help you? He said, oh, no, the spring just fell off my accelerator. So he said, I just put it back. That's back when we had linkage, by the way, instead of electronic. Keith, you remembered, I know. I know Gene does. I know some of us in here are old enough. And, you know, he didn't need me. But the point was, God was going to see if I'd do what he said, right? And I did. And then I got started again. Guess what? Atlanta traffic. Now, I can't prove it, but I'd almost bet you if I'd have stopped in the beginning, I'd have made it through the traffic okay. So I steamed all the way through the traffic, mad with myself. You know, why didn't you, you know, and don't look at me like that. I know you have too. No matter what the situation was, I'm too big a hurry, I got time, or you know, it's raining, or it ain't raining, or whatever the excuse is. Look at Exodus 4:14. Here's God's response. He done got tired of it. Did you know God gets tired of it? Did you know we wear his patience? I know I do.
I know I do.
Oh, man. Thank God for grace, right? I wouldn't have made it. I probably wouldn't have made it 30 days under the law. I'd have got stoned to death, killed, or whatever. I mean, with my impatience, right? I know you don't have that problem. I do. I mean, you know, my wife, Jan, bless her heart, 43 years of trying to get me to have patience. And she laughs when something goes wrong. She has the nerve to laugh at me. God just trying to teach you patience. I said, well, keep it to yourself. I'll have patience when I get more time. I don't have time right now. Yeah, I don't know. God's response in verse 14 of chapter 4. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. And ye shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, he shall, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. In other words, I've already got this figured out, man. I got Aaron to talk for you. Again, he stuttered real bad. He had a speech impairment, whatever. Another response. Let's back up to Exodus 3. Let's see, Exodus 3. We were over there a while ago. And verse 12. Let's read a little bit of that. Again, a response from God when we come up with excuses not to do his work. And good heaven, we got technology now to work with. I mean, golly, we can email them. Send them a, you know, email. Exodus 3, verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say to them? Now again, understand something. Moses is walking back in to say, all right, guys, let's go. Can you imagine that? They didn't know anything but slavery. They didn't know anything but being in bondage. But now what? Listen what God said. This just happened to be on the front of a green Kenworth sitting right out there in the grill of it. And God said, I don't know, did you get it from here, Gene?
I prayed about it. I asked God what he wanted to name the truck. The book opened up and there it was in bold print.
In verse 14, where it came from. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. The great I am. That's God. That's God. And when God sends you somewhere, he gives you the power, the authority. He gives you everything you need to go do that. I've used this illustration many times. A company wouldn't call you and say, move this load from Atlanta to California and not give you a trailer. Wouldn't that be silly? Wouldn't give you no truck. Say, well, how am I supposed to get it there? Well, just any way you can. I mean, you know, just do the best you can. No, you got the equipment to do it with. And God does that. Tell you what, turn to, all right, we'll do that. Acts chapter 1. Turn way over in the New Testament. Acts chapter 1. What part of it, but it is now. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I want to show you the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we have today. Every born-again Christian has the same Holy Spirit living in them. Did you know that? Every born-again Christian has the Holy Spirit living in them. And and thus, you actually have God in you. Think about that. You're talking about power. God, the Holy Spirit. You understand the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? So you've got God living in you if you're a born-again Christian. I mean, how much more power do you want? How much do we need? None. We've got it. Acts 1 and 8. He said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what shall you do with that? What should somebody do with that? What does it say? That's right. You shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me. I've been reading the other version too long. Let me read this like it says. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, point I want to make in that is he said in Jerusalem. Why? Why did he say Jerusalem first? Because that's where they were. That's where they were. Chances are none of us will get to go to China or Africa or Europe or whatever. You know, I don't know. You might. But chances are we won't. But we're in trucking. So why not consider trucking, if you please, as our Jerusalem? This is a place to start. A good friend of mine, Don Farrell, says, start where you are with what you have. We don't need to ask for something else because we've already been endued with power according to Acts 1 and 8. We've already got the Holy Spirit living in us. And we know we got the Great Commission in what? Matthew 28? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. So we've got the commission. You say, I don't preach. Oh, yes, you do. Just take the P off the front. And you got your job. Preacher becomes a reacher. All of us, every born-again Christian, is commissioned to reach the lost. for Jesus Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Some people tell me, somebody give us a page number when you get there, please. What is it? 641. 641. I ask people sometimes, you know, get in a conversation, well, why don't you witness? Why don't you, you know, you're a born-again Christian, maybe they tell me that. Well, why don't you witness? I'm not criticizing, I'm just curious. Why not? Well, I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. That's the number one excuse for not witnessing. Now let's go think about Moses now. Did that work for him? No. Did any excuse work? No. God repeatedly told him over there in Exodus, I'm going to send you, I'll take care of you. Fast forward to Acts. We got our, as you were, Matthew 28, we got our commission, the Great Commission we call it, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Acts 1 and 8, we got the empowerment to go do that, right? So, why don't we? You say, well, I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. Matthew 12, 34. Matthew 12, 34. Well, let's read 33 and 34. I better read it out of the same book you got. I'm sorry about read it out of another one. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by its fruit. Well, that's duh. I mean, you know, you go look in my yard, there's a peach tree, looking towards the back, a peach tree, a walnut tree, there's a grapevine and a plum trees, two plum trees, two pecan trees. Now, it don't take a rocket scientist to look at one of them trees and figure out which one's which when it's bearing fruit. Maybe in the winter when it doesn't have any leaves, you might say, well, I don't know what that is. When it's got pecans, or we say pecans, hanging on it, guess what? Duh, that's a pecan tree. Well, our fruit, what he's talking about here is, if I'm a Christian, you're going to be able to tell it by my fruit. And I'm going to be able to tell what you are. Even if we are wearing an Ohio State shirt, we'll look over that. His wife got a Tennessee Volunteer shirt on. This is going to be interesting.
I volunteer to be a Buckeye.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. Oh. But look at Matthew 12. Let's read verse 34. It says we're known by our fruit, all right? Now it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, what happened? The mouth speaks. The abundance of the heart. What is he talking about? Whatever we hear, remember Romans 10:17, faith cometh by? Well, fear comes by hearing also. Whatever we hear goes into our spirit man. Not this thumping gizzard right here, but the spirit man. And fortunately or unfortunately, it's there forever. Whatever you hear is never erased. How many times you had somebody had the experience, somebody told you something really, really bad, cursed you, called you something. They can apologize and really mean it, but you never ever forget what they said, right? You forgive them, but you don't forget it. Why? Because you heard it. So, let's turn that around to the good side. If we hear the Word of God, not just read it now, understand, it's different. We tend to read it. How many was taught to memorize Scripture, right? Memorize this, that, and the other. I tried to memorize tests, but didn't work. But anyway, when we hear it, though, it's not memory. What we read is memorized. Goes in our mind. Guess who plays in the mind? Satan. But guess who does not have access to the spirit man? Satan. He can't get in there. He can't mess that up. The only way he can mess it up is getting us listening to stuff we shouldn't be listening to. Because that, too, goes into the spirit man. I made a comment one time in a newsletter many, many years ago that about certain music, certain lyrics that we listen to. Now, I'm a country music fan. I don't mind telling you, I like country music. But some of it is deadly. Lying Here with Linda on My Mind. I had a woman write me a letter and say, I like that song and I'm glad my husband listened to it. I said, is your name Linda? If your name ain't Linda, I'd have a problem with that. You know? But, you know, it sounds so good, and rock and roll, same thing. You know, there's lyrics out there, and see, we get into the, and me too. We like to listen to it, right? Well, what we don't realize is, what are we hearing? It's destroying our spirit, man. We don't even know it. I don't mean like destroy, because it can't do that. But it messes up our witness. All the doubt and disbelief that's pumped into us through the lyrics of songs override, because we don't hear enough of the Word of God. And the Bible says, out of the abundance or the overflow, whatever we hear the most of is what's going to come out our mouth. So when God speaks to our heart and says, you know, I want you to witness to somebody or put somebody in our path to you know, say something nice to or whatever, what happens is all that doubt and disbelief we've been listening to overrides the Word of God. We say, well, I better not do that. What if? Like Moses. Who's going to believe me? The other night after service here, I went over and sat down, and it was one of those nights when I wound up by myself and sat down at a restaurant. Even Gene went to bed on me. He left me. But no, that was a God thing. A guy come and sit down at the table next to me, and I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but he didn't have three good words out of 25. I mean, profanity just rolling. He wasn't ugly or arrogant. He was just talking normal, as they would say, right? And I thought, well, time to go. It was time to close up anyway. I looked at my watch. I said, good, thank you, Jesus. It's 10 o'clock. I can get out of here. God said, sit down. I don't want to hear that. Do you? No. And we use the excuse, though, I don't want to hear that. God probably don't want to hear that either. Sit still. And I'm sitting there praying, Lord, give me something good. I mean, I'm not going to attack him, because he's only doing what comes normal or natural to him, being not born again, okay? I'm not condemning him. I'm just saying that's normal, right? It's natural. He does not have this in his heart, because it would be coming out here somehow or another. Well, praise God. The short version is, before I left that night, the Lord gave me something to share with him. In fact, he got up twice to leave. He told the waitress two different times, no more coffee. Got to go. Time to take my shower. I said, well, have a great day. And he'd say something, and I'd say something, and he sat back down, poured another cup of coffee. This happened two times after he was leaving. And after a while, I said, yeah. Now, I don't know what was accomplished, but I'm so glad I didn't listen to my flesh that was saying, just get out of here. Right.
I always know if there's somebody there.
Right.
And there's been times when I get to the truck and say, God, did I give him the word that you want? Because
that's right.
Jesus is one word.
Look back at Joshua. You don't have to turn there, but remember what he said. Don't let this book of the law, and we could go a bit further, because again, then they only had the Mosaic law. Don't let the Bible get away from us. Make it a part of our living, if I may paraphrase that. He said, meditate on it. How often?
Day and night.
Day and night. Fast forward to Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My question to us tonight is, what's coming out of our mouth? If you didn't know, if I didn't know you was listening, and I didn't have my chaplain stuff on, on this trip, we're leaving on the 28th, be gone 2 months, be on the road. I'll be in places probably I've never been before. Say in the middle of the night, standing in a truck stop somewhere, nobody knows me. What would they hear me say? Would it glorify God? That's what's on my mind. That's what's on my mind. Now, while everything's going good, of course, but what if I got problems? What if I break down? What if things go the way I don't want them to? I pray every day, Lord, let me be a witness for you. An effective witness. Let me correct that. An effective witness. Tonight, don't know where you are in your life today. And those listening on the CD, don't know where you are or who you are. But I can tell you one thing, that if you're not where you ought to be right now, there's hope and there's help in God's Word. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithfully just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to close this meeting with a simple little prayer. I always do this. If you've been here, you've heard it before, and you'll hear it again. And I want everybody in the room to pray this with me out loud, with your heads up and eyes open. Because someone in this room or listening to this CD may need to pray it. And I don't want to point anybody out. You know where you are with God. I don't. I mean, you don't know where I am. Just know what I say, right? But I want to know about your heart of hearts. If you died this moment, do you know you could go to heaven without a shadow of a doubt? If there's any doubt at all, mean this prayer from the bottom of your heart the best you can. And based on the Word of God, I can assure you, I can guarantee you that He'll save you and set you free and cleanse you from all your sin. So let's pray this together, would you? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. Forgive me, Lord, for not witnessing, for you've told me to do that. Help me, Lord, to be more sensitive to your precious Holy Spirit. Lead, guide, and direct me according to your perfect will. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Amen.